what happened was a perfect metaphor is what's been going on, right? We can be thankful. We get so excited when things are going great. But then when things don't go great, we're like, God, what's wrong with you? What's your issue? What's the deal? And the reality is the Bible teaches us that we're supposed to be thankful for no matter what happens, no matter what comes into our lives, we're supposed to show gratitude and thankfulness to Him. And so I hope that during this time, you've been able to find those moments of gratitude and thankfulness. And for those of you that don't know, if you haven't wandered over to the other side yet, I encourage you to do that if Josh is willing to, if Josh is willing to give another tour. But the Southside project has been going fantastic. And Josh, if I miss somebody, please holler at me. I've got him down here, but I don't want to miss anybody because last time I missed some people. But Josh has been heading that up. He's literally been spending hours every single week, in fact, some days over here making sure everything's happening over there. It's fantastic with that. And then Nick and Patrick have been here doing a lot of technical stuff. And Ron Pringle Joe Winchester, Ray Wallace, Jill Tanner, Adam Vaught, Jason Hedens, Eric Cecil, Dean Nowacki, a bunch of ladies that came in. Did I miss anybody that did cleaning? If we did, it's Josh's fault. Okay, so, it's been awesome. And in fact, there's still stuff going on. So if you want to come in and help out, please, you can either see Josh, you can send us an email at welcome@experiencefriendship.com, we will get you connected because I think the next phase is getting the glue off the floor, which is, yeah, Josh, you're excited about that, aren't you? Okay, we're going to get started in a series today that I actually did 6 years ago here at Friendship. Now, 6 years is a long time when you deal with the topic that we're talking about, which is parenting. 6 years ago when I did this series, and obviously we're going to update it, we're going to do some different things, but 6 years ago when I did this series, my oldest daughter was 17, my youngest daughter was 14, they were still in high school, we hadn't experienced what is now called empty nest, and that's kind of where we are. I've got a 23-year-old and a 20-year-old, Caitlin just graduated from Liberty, although she doesn't get to walk till September, Georgia's going to be a junior in the fall. When she goes back. So our lives have dramatically changed. When you get to that point, those of you that are old enough to get to that point, you realize you look back and you go, wow, different perspective. And that's kind of what this whole series is about. Each week we're going to take a different kind of time period in the life of your child. And how as your child progresses, your parenting has to adapt and change and address that, with it as well. And so we're going to work through that and process through it. And the Bible's got an unbelievable amount of wealth of verses and passages of Scripture, even chapters that are dedicated as to how to be a parent. How to parent your child, what to teach your child, what your child should do, shouldn't do, and all those different things. And when you read that, sometimes you can get really overwhelmed. A question that I think probably hundreds of times as our girls were growing up and now still as our parenting has shifted to something completely different, you ask the question, am I doing this right? When you're sitting with your little toddler and you're trying to get them to potty train, and they're not listening and they're not doing it, and you're doing jelly beans and gumdrops and all sorts of stuff, you're going, am I doing this right? What's going on? Or as they get a little bit older and you're dealing with, stuff in school and friendships and kids and which kids you can play with, which kids you can't play with, that's bullying, you can't do that, and, all these different things. It's like, man, am I screwing my kid up for life? Is that what's happening here? And you're just processing that all the time. And there can be a lot of guilt, a lot of frustration, a lot of difficulty. And so really this series, we're just going to walk through all these different sections, and we're going to bring in the Scripture that God has to say about that time in their life. And so you may go, well, I don't have a kid in that phase. You can always learn something. Whenever the Bible's taught, you can always learn something. And so we're going to start out with a verse that you probably have heard before. It's not a verse that's typically used, however, for parenting. But I think it's a great verse for us to start this series off with as we talk about being a parent and getting into what's called parenthood. So it's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, and it goes like this. Paul is the writer, and he says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. Those of you that have little kids, your kids, as they're really little, they talk a certain way. It's kind of that baby language, and then they get a little bit older, and then they start putting sentences, and unless you're like my oldest daughter, her first sentence was like, actually, what I would prefer is, we're like, okay, you're weird. But your, you know, your kids, they do those different things and they process through that differently, and you understand how they talk, and then maybe you've got teenagers, you're like, I have no idea what they're saying. They're using words that aren't even in the dictionary. And you're trying to, it's this process of talking. And then he goes on, he says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. And he says, I thought like a child. Your thought process, right? And you can say stuff to your kids, and you're like, well, that's, you know, that's good for me, that's not good for you, and that lasts until they're about three, and then they start to figure that out. And the thought process progresses, and they, as they get older, their thought process changes. And so Paul says, listen, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, and then he said, I reasoned like a child. And that's the decision-making process, right? 1 + 1 = 2, therefore I should get 2 cookies, not just 1. And it's the thought process, but then the thought process attached to the action process. And the Bible often calls that wisdom, right? Applied knowledge and truth and that type of thing. Then he finishes this. But when I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. When it was time for me to grow up, I didn't talk like a child anymore, I didn't think like a child anymore, and I didn't process or decision make like a child anymore, because it was time for me to be a man. So here's the big idea. The big idea is this. Before jumping into parenthood, commit to adulthood. Now, we don't have any worship guides for you because we don't want to spread the virus. But you can get on YouVersion and you can follow that along. You can download the notes on the website if you want to. Bring them in with you. You can put them on a PDF and work that way, and you can process through that. But the big idea is, before jumping into parenthood, commit to adulthood. We often, you know, we're talking with younger couples, and our joke is, if you're a young couple and you're just married and you get a dog, then not too much longer, a baby's coming. That's just kind of the way that it works. Sorry, Hunter. I know you're throwing your way. Big shake no over there, but I'm just saying, that happens. That's like the first step, right, as you're moving. And so I was kind of in my mind thinking, like, so you want a baby, huh? Okay, well, let's talk about this. And you just kind of lay all these things out. If you've had children, you say, okay, are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? And so many times, I remember when Caitlin was first born, and the first thought in my head was, I am not ready for this. Maybe you all experience that as well. You're like, oh, this is so great, and this is so wonderful. I am not ready for this. And you have this processing that you have to go through. I honestly believe that the reason that it takes 9 months to form a baby has nothing to do with the baby. It has to do with us. That God's giving us time to get ready, to realize, oh man, we got to change this, we got to baby-proof this, you got to work through all those things. And so before you jump into parenting, you've got to look at yourself and ask, am I actually an adult? Have I gotten to this point? Have I worked through that? So using this passage of scripture, you know, we look at that and say, okay, how do I talk? Is my conversation and the types of conversation that I have, would they be considered grown-up talk? Or do I still kind of have these childish conversations and childish arguments and childish discussions with people when really I'm wanting to be a grown-up, but I'm still acting and talking like a child? Do you think like a child? As an adult, you've got to become responsible for your actions. There are consequences for what you do. You've got to get to the point where you don't think that anybody owes you anything, that you've got to stand on your own 2 feet. It's not like you're waiting for some, you know, something to show up and you're, it's going to be all good and someone's going to fix your problems. If you're a grown-up, the thought process has to move to, I've got to figure out how to work through this. And then do you process like a child? Do you make decisions like an adult? Why do you do what you do? You know, why do you make the decisions that you make? How do you spend your time? How do you spend your money? Kids are expensive. I just looked it up this last week, and the average child cost over $500,000 to just, now that doesn't include college. That's just like to get them to 18. Over $500,000. So take how many kids you have times $500,000, and that's how much you have to own by the time they turn 18. Good luck with that. Okay, so, but I really think that the reason that God takes 9 months is to help prepare us. And so if you're at that stage, if you're thinking about that, if you're in the process of getting ready to have a baby, you know, walk through these things. Or maybe you've already passed that stage, and now you need to kind of look back and say, did I get to that stage? Do I need to do some catch-up work? So I'm just going to walk through those three things, okay? Talking, thoughts, and reasoning. And so the first one is, if you're going to actually be a parent, if you're going to jump into parenthood, then you need to make sure that you are committing to growing up your conversation, to grow up your conversation. to make it more grown up in the way that you talk to people. I'm not talking about baby talk or silly talk. I'm talking about the types of conversations that you have, all right? Think about this last week. You know, a lot of people have been quarantined, if you will, in their home. That's not the right word. But, you know, they've been at home with their kids, and you hear your kids argue over the dumbest things, right? They just argue over the stupidest things. You know, and we look at that, we say, how silly. But then, you know, just add a couple years to that and ask yourself, am I arguing with my spouse the same way? Am I arguing with the guy on Zoom the same way? Am I doing that same thing? So maybe your conversation needs to grow up. So the first thing you need to do to be able to do that is understand how powerful and influential your conversation is. It has the power to both produce positive results and also evil results. Proverbs 18:21 says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. So not only do you have to understand how powerful it is, then you've got to make the decision. You've got to consciously choose to use your conversation for good. And there are scores. There are dozens of verses in the Bible that talk about using your conversation to encourage, to equip, to build up, to not tear down, all these different things. And I want to just focus on one, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. And it says this, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. Now notice the way that it says that. No corrupting talk. In other words, what you're saying isn't creating more problems within the relationship. No corrupting talk. It's not degrading the conversation, the relationship. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So if you want a definition of what grown-up talk is, that's it. No corrupting talk. In other words, you're looking to try to be a positive influence, only that which is good for building up and as fits the occasion. And that may be the most difficult one. You know, you're in a conversation like, I don't really want this conversation. Let's change this conversation. You try to switch it to something else. It's like, hey, you know, fit within the conversation of what's going on. And then he says at the end, he says that it may give grace to those that hear you. So ask yourself, when you're in conversation with other people, do they walk away feeling grace, or do they walk away feeling something else? And that's really a good test as to whether or not you have the grown-up conversation. So before you jump into parenthood, commit to adulthood, you do that by growing up in your conversation. The second one you do is you grow up in your thoughts. You grow up in your thoughts. He said, I talk like a child, but I thought like a child. So how do you talk? So this may or may not blow your mind, but the average person has between 35,000 and 50,000 thoughts every 24-hour period. 35,000 to 50,000 thoughts each and every 24-hour period. Now, for just for giggles, here we go. There are 86,400 seconds in a 24-hour period. 86,400 seconds. So if we take the average of 45,000 thoughts a day, that means that we are thinking a new thought every 1.92 seconds. Those of you that have girls, just double that, because that's reality, right? Just constant. But every 2 seconds or less, you're thinking a new thought. That's how your brain is working. And so when the Bible says take every thought captive so that you can be able to process on what God wants you to do, man, that is a challenge. But we have to realize if we're going to grow up, we have to understand the connection between our thoughts and our actions. Because every action started somewhere in that 45,000 thoughts that you had throughout the day. Every action, every fire that action creates was first lit on the back end by a thought. So I want to read this to you. H. Norman Wright wrote these words, and I want to just read them because I think they're really powerful. So what are thoughts? They're made up of our memories, our perceptions, our beliefs. They are glimpses, even snippets of ideas. Our thoughts determine the very orientation of everything we do. They evoke the feelings that frame our world and motivate our actions, and they have the power to change the very way that we feel. Each behavior begins this way. A thought stimulates an electrochemical response, which produces an emotion. An emotion results in an attitude. An attitude produces the behavior. And this process affects the way that we think and feel physically. So negative or toxic thoughts produce toxic emotions. And those produce toxic attitudes, which result in toxic behavior. You see, it all starts right here. In your brain, in your, you know, your puddle of mush, whatever you want to call it, your gray matter, it all starts right here. Your attitude, your emotions, your actions, everything. And so when Paul says, listen, I started to think like a grown-up, you have to realize what that means. Paul says again in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, this. He says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. He says, you know, if you want to grow up in your thought process, this is where you start. You start by focusing on things that are admirable and pure and righteous and holy. If you fix your thoughts on things that are negative, then your thoughts will then produce negative emotions, and your emotions will produce negative attitudes, and your attitudes will produce negative actions. And when you have negative actions and attitude and emotions and thoughts, guess what? You come out with a negative life. Because no negative thought can ever produce a positive action. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't work that way. And so if a negative thought cannot produce a positive action, then a negative thought can also not produce a positive life. So if you're going to be the type of parent that your child needs, you need to grow up in your thought process and begin to focus on the things that God has said you're supposed to focus on. So if we're going to jump into adulthood, jump into parenthood, we need to first commit to adulthood. We need to grow up in our conversation. We need to grow up in our thoughts. And the last one is this. We need to grow up in our decision making. It's weird because nobody's writing anything down, and that's usually when I take a drink of water. So I apologize for that. Grow up in your decision-making, right? The Bible calls this whole process wisdom. I'll give you a quick definition of wisdom. It's this: the application of knowledge. So you take knowledge and you apply it to a situation, and you temper that with experience. So it's the application of knowledge tempered by experience. And so as you grow older and you continue to apply knowledge, then you begin to also gain experience, and that creates what we call wisdom. For example, you may be, you know, have an unbelievable ability to be able to work on cars or something like that. And so you have the applied knowledge, and you apply that knowledge, but then you come to a problem that you've never experienced before. And it takes you forever, at least it does for me, to search on YouTube and find out how to fix that problem. But then what's amazing is, right, the next time that that problem peaks up its head, you have the experience to go, oh, I know exactly what that is. And so now you've got applied knowledge, and you have experience, and when you put those two things together, that's wisdom. And that's how it works. That's the decision-making process of a grown-up. An incredible book, and actually a study that we have done several times here at Friendship Church by Andy Stanley, is called The Best Question Ever. And if you are truly going to grasp and hold on to grown-up decision-making that fits within the framework of what God has said, you really need to be able to take this question with you as you process through. It's one of the greatest questions I think I've ever heard. And here we go. Here's the question. In light of my past experiences, so when you come to a decision that you need to make, you say, in light of my past experiences, in light of my present circumstances, and in light of my future hopes and dreams. So you take those three things, my present circumstances, you take my past experience, and my future hopes and dreams, and then you say, what is the wise thing for me to do? I love this because it says, listen, okay, I'm looking at my past and what I've experienced. I'm looking at my present and what's currently going on, and I'm looking at my future. And so if you constantly ask that question and apply that question to the decisions that you make in your life, you will never make a short-sighted decision. Now, you may make a wrong decision, but that's going to be based upon the present situation and the information that you have. And sometimes that's unavoidable. But the reality is that you'll always make decisions that line up with your past, your present, and your future hopes and dreams. That's a great way to process through this. Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to look at verse 13, then we're going to jump to verses 17 and 18. And we'll read a couple of verses about wisdom. So in Proverbs, the writer Solomon says this: God blesses everyone who has wisdom and common sense. I almost wonder if we need to rename common sense, because I don't think it's quite as common as it used to once be, right? But he says, listen, God blesses everyone who has wisdom and common sense. He says, when you actually take wisdom and take knowledge and experience and you apply it that way, that's wisdom. And when you do that and you do that with common sense and you process through maybe the greatest question ever, that God is going to bless you in that process. And then we jump down to verse 17. Wisdom makes life pleasant and leads us safely along. Wisdom is a life-giving tree, the source of happiness for all who hold on to her. These words were written by the wisest man that ever lived, who when God came to him and said, hey, what do you want? I'll give you anything you want. He said, I want wisdom. I want to be able to have knowledge and the experience to apply that to the correct circumstance, to be able to make right decisions, because I don't want to reason like a child anymore. I want to make decisions like a grown-up. And this last verse, James 1:5, this is for all of us who when we read or we hear the definition of wisdom, we're like, yeah, that'd be nice. That'd be nice to have that. I wish I understood that. I wish I was able to make decisions that way. This is so awesome because God doesn't say, hey, y'all, you need to have wisdom and then go, hope you figure out how to find it. James 1:5 says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, which I think we could all probably go, yep, that would be me, you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. I love the fact that James includes without finding fault in there. Because I'm not going to lie, there are some times when I go to prayer and I'm like, God, I know I shouldn't ask for this. I know I'm a doofus because I got this situation and that type of thing. And we feel that way, right? But James says, listen, when you go to God, you say, God, I want wisdom. I want to be able to make the right decision. I want to be able to take the knowledge that I have and the experience that I have and the future hopes and dreams that I have, combine them together to accomplish the best possible solution, that God doesn't go, you moron, don't you know what's right? Haven't you figured it out by now? But instead, God goes, okay, thank you for asking. Let me help you walk through that process. And so maybe that's exactly where you are. Maybe you're in that parenting stage where you're like, I wish I had wisdom. I don't know what to do with these kids. I don't know what I'm going to do next. Just go to God and ask for that wisdom. It's an amazing thing that God does for us and helps us through the process of being able to be a parent. So wherever you are, whether you're in this stage, you're like, maybe we do want a baby. Work through this process. If you already have one, you already have a kid, or maybe you've got lots of kids at home, and you look at this, and you're like, man, I'm kind of short in this area when it comes to whether it's the conversation or the thought process or the decision making, and you need to go, oh, we need to refocus on that. But the bottom line is that God doesn't sit back and judge you and attack you and tell you how horrible and awful as a parent you are, but rather God says, here's my hand, take my hand, let me walk you through this. And that's our goal over the next several weeks, is to just walk through together what it means to be a parent and what God says to do that. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you for the privilege of being able to be here tonight and online, if there's anyone that's watching and engaged with that. And we're so thankful that you've given us the opportunity to be able to understand the truth of Scripture, to be able to apply it to our lives, to work through all the things and the challenges that you have given us, and then God, to be able to then go, okay, this is what you want me to do. And Father, I pray for every mom and dad that's out there that's in the process working through this, trying to understand how in the world this all works together, how in the world this all fits together. God, I would just pray that you would encourage them. Don't let there be a parent out there that beats themselves up, but rather let there be parents out there that just simply raises their hand and says, God, I need help. And knowing that you're a God that doesn't find fault, you're a God that doesn't attack, but you're a God that desires to lift us up to become the men and the women, the moms and the dads that you've called us to be. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.